If you're committed to living a healthier life, you might want to look into working herbs into your wellness routine. There's a reason people have trusted them for thousands of years. Nature's Way understands that nature is the ultimate problem solver, and they're constantly inspired by the power of nature. For example, their ginger root and slippery elm bark have been traditionally used for digestive support. And St. John's wort, holy basil, and ashwagandha can provide mood and stress support. And because Nature's Way sources from around the world and does a ton of comprehensive potency and quality testing in their state-of-the-art lab, you can be sure you're getting top-quality herbs. To learn more, visit naturesway.com.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
We do have Alex Stone here, though, because we spent a lot of time last hour talking about the great Chinese airship, the balloon, carrying that payload of spy equipment all the way from Alaska to North Carolina before it was finally shot down. And Alex has the latest from ABC News.
I will be your Ken for you.
Okay, you can. Got a two-headed monster.
There you go. Hold my hand. I'll be your Ken.
Well, okay.
So yeah, we got a briefing today from the head of NORAD, the commander of NORAD, General Glenn Van Herk, and he laid a lot of this out. And I know you've been talking about it, but they're trying to collect the debris right now. Relatively shallow water, about 6 miles off the coast of South Carolina. Only about 47 feet deep, so pretty easy for divers to get down there and get to it if it's still intact. The FBI is on board the boats in that area. The weather was bad yesterday. They've been in the water today. The FBI in charge of counterintelligence, they're going to collect pieces of it, send it to Quantico, try to put together the counterintelligence part of it, of what was China doing and what did they have on board. But he did get into a lot of details with us, including why NORAD didn't order it to be shot down when it was seen entering over the Aleutian Islands and into Alaska. And this is what he told us a little while ago.
It was my assessment that this balloon did not present a physical military threat to North America. This is under my NORAD hat. And therefore, I could not take immediate action because it was not demonstrating hostile act or hostile intent.
Now, the way he described it to us, he said they determined that China could not get much from the balloon and that we could learn more from exploiting the balloon and learning what they had on board than they could get from flying over. He also talked about that we took actions. He wouldn't answer the question if we jammed their signal, but that we took actions to make sure they couldn't get anything from the balloon or get much out of it, that they felt like what we could learn because other balloons we haven't been able to spend this much time with or get this close to or knew about them in real time, that they could, we could fly close to them, use technology to see close to it, to see what China was putting on these balloons and spend a few days with it. This is his way of explaining, you know, the reason why it took so long. And he says that we did get counterintelligence out of it while it was flying over the U.S., something that he says NORAD doesn't typically have the ability to do.
Day to day, we do not have the authority to collect intelligence within the United States of America. In this case, specific authorities were granted to collect intelligence against the balloon specifically, and we utilized specific capabilities to do that.
He told us the payload on the bottom was about the size of a jet airliner, a small jet airliner weighing a few thousand pounds. They had worries, he said, about once it was in the continental U.S., about glass from the solar panels. He said, think of glass the size of a jet airliner blowing apart and coming raining down, and hazmat on board. He said they also thought China may have equipped it, and we still don't know if they did, with explosives on board to destroy it like we would if we had something that was spy equipment and trying to get rid of it before the enemy got their hands on it, that they thought there may have been explosives on board. And one other thing, John, the two F-22s that they used to take it down were Frank 01 and Luke 01. Frank 01 was the one that used a live warhead, the Sidewinder missile, that took it down. But he explained it was symbolic and why they did Frank and Luke as the call signs. He said that it was in honor of somebody who did a lot.
Frank Luke, Medal of Honor winner, World War I, for his activities that he conducted against observation balloons. So how fitting is it that Frank 01 took down this balloon in sovereign airspace of the United States of America within our territorial waters?
But he says the goal now is to get those pieces out of the water, exploit them in every way we possibly can, figure out what China's been doing with these balloons around the world. We know there was one in South America around the same time, and he says that they want to figure these out and what they're all about.
If they were concerned that there might be explosives on board, was there any worry that those explosives could be used in an attack against a town?
He didn't seem worried about that. Their concern, and I think that they could see some of what was on board, that it wasn't anything major, would have been to destroy the balloon and the payload underneath. There was no maneuverability, it didn't look like, to drop and then explode down on the ground to hit a certain area. Plus the fact it sounds like, and this is only, the kind of indications we're getting, that signals were jammed and that the Chinese may not have had a lot of control over it once action was taken from the U.S. side. Maybe that was a possibility. He didn't indicate any of that today.
So did he talk about what he thought the purpose of the Chinese experiment was, to see if we could block them and jam them?
They believe that, and this is apparently these balloons, and he did, by the way, talk about the previous balloons, we've known about the ones that were off of Hawaii and other places, but these other ones that have become controversial in the last couple of days, that this is a surveillance means that China is doing right now, sending these balloons manufactured by a Chinese company to the U.S., to try to get intelligence on what's going on and other areas of the world. On the previous balloons, which this is now a big political point that, the Biden administration kind of dangled out there last week, that there had been other balloons during the Trump administration, and the former Trump administration officials said, bull, there was nothing that went on, there were no balloons, and they continue to stand by that today. The general today, who became commander of NORAD under President Trump, said there were, in fact, balloons during the Trump administration, but NORAD never detected them and they didn't know about them until not that long ago, when the intelligence community informed them that they had intelligence that there had been balloons. But he put it this way. Essentially, the U.S. failed to detect that there were balloons that flew over parts of the United States in previous years.
It's my responsibility to detect threats to North America. I will tell you that we did not detect those threats, and that's a domain awareness gap that we have to figure out. But I don't want to go into further detail. The intel community, after the fact, I believe, as has been briefed already, assess those threats to additional means of collection from additional means, and made us aware of those balloons that were previously approaching North America or transited North America.
So according to the commander of NORAD, there have been Chinese balloons that have either approached or gone over, or I should say, and gone over America, and we never knew about it. North America never knew about it in that time, in real time. So maybe China believed in this one. Hey, those were never detected. This one will never be detected. But he says a domain awareness gap, essentially the failure in that moment when the balloon was going over parts of the U.S. and we never knew about it.
All right. Thank you very much, Alex. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Alex Stone, ABC News for KFI.
Domain awareness gap?
Yeah, it's a DAG.
A domain awareness gap. That means we don't know what the hell is going on out there. That's what that means.
They can fly pretty high, these balloons, so I guess sometimes they don't get picked up.
60,000
feet? Yeah. I've heard 100,000 feet they can go up to.
So what,
who knew? Chinese balloons would be on the radar this year.
What could they carry that could really do us damage?
Look, I read a lot about this over the weekend. I think this is just, and I guess the term they're using is a trial balloon. You like the nice pun?
Yeah, it's a good one.
They want to see what they can get away with. They've probably been doing this for years. If we didn't detect three during the Trump administration, right, and that goes back,
and there might be
five,
stuff,
7 years now.
There's probably stuff we never detected. Those were detected and never publicized. But what about the stuff?
Who knows what they collected from us?
And who else is doing this too?
Russian balloons?
Well, there's got to be Russian balloons, right? Armenian balloons? Polish balloons?
Iranian balloons?
Yeah. Great.
It could be all over the place. Well, now we have a new balloon awareness then, right?
We're closing the domain awareness gap.
Gap, right. So now we'll really be on the lookout for these things. So are they ever going to tell us what they find now that they're sorting through the debris?
Well, that's the thing. You know,
are they going to keep that secret from us too?
These generals or these spokesholes, they declare very confidently what it was and what it wasn't. But are they telling the truth? Or are they shoveling horse poo at us?
It's for your own good.
Yeah, I don't really believe
that. We don't want you to panic.
Yeah, I know. Domain awareness gap. Wow. That's in the euphemism hall of fame. First ballot.
John Bolton has already spoken up. Remember him?
Yeah.
He was Trump's former national security advisor. Really? Did they go into a time machine and find the detection? Because during the Trump administration, we never were aware of any balloons up there.
Oh, okay. So were there balloons coming in and they were afraid to tell Trump because they feared he would fire nuclear missiles at Beijing?
Oh, that's possible. Yeah, you're right. He would overreact. Yeah.
Nothing would surprise me.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Did you watch them shoot down the balloon live?
I
missed that. I was checking in on the story, but not really watching it on TV.
We were traveling all day, driving to San Francisco, and it was really boring going up the Interstate 5. So I was following it on my iPad and listening to the TV and audio coverage.
Right.
But when I got to the hotel room, then I looked up and they said, oh, it just had gotten shot down 20 minutes ago. So I got to see the instant replays, though. Very exciting.
Okay.
Yes. It filled in a lot of dead time during the drive.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it was psychological warfare. They really wanted to just mess with us mentally by sending some things over and seeing, one or two things could have happened. We could have just not reported it to the public or anybody and just shot it down. The Chinese would have been like, all right, well, they noticed it. Or they probably like this better. It's created a real public firestorm, right?
If you don't know what's in it, then why would you let it float over our airspace? I mean, you can't be sure what's in it.
Yeah,
or what the reason for this is. I find
but
that strange.
Not the first time.
And
so
how come Biden wasn't told till Wednesday? Does he nap that long? This thing was floating over Alaska a week ago Saturday.
Yeah, I know. I read that. They picked it up that early.
And they claim the balloon during the Trump administration, nobody told Trump. Is this the new procedure? Presidents are not informed when we have foreign countries sending strange aircraft?
Well, only presidents like Trump and Biden. One will overreact, the other one won't understand. So
I just stare. And I just mistrust everybody involved in this. I think there must be a lot of cover your ass going on because this can be perceived as quite embarrassing that it happened and it actually floated from Alaska to North Carolina and that nobody in the upper levels of government at least knew about it and the public never knew about it. I mean, that just doesn't seem like that's how you run things.
Of course, the other big story is that earthquake that struck Turkey, 7.8, another one at 7.5. It also hit Syria. Not getting as much coverage about Syria. But, of course, the El Segundo Times runs the story that Deborah Mark's looking for. What would it do to Southern California if we got hit with a 7.8? And as you can guess, it would be very disruptive. I don't think we'd have as many deaths because there is some retrofitting and better construction here.
I don't think there was a lot of retrofitting in Turkey.
No, did you see the video of some of the buildings just coming down, just like rubble?
Yeah.
Swaying and then people running in the streets. They look like mostly dirt roads they were running in, but they were pretty wild scenes. They think that, and this is all estimates, 1,800 people might die if we had an earthquake like that, with Los Angeles County having the worst of it. We're talking about, of course, San Andreas. Mm-hmm. 50,000 injured. Freeways would be busted up from Las Vegas, freeways to Vegas and Phoenix. Possibly up to 1 million people, no homes.
Well, that's supposed to definitely happen one day, right?
Yes.
A 7-8. That's well within prediction. And it has to happen because that fault is so huge. One day the pressure will blow.
Yeah, gas, power, cell service probably would be severely out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last time we had a seismic event like this, of course, was the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. That was 7.8. Everybody talks about Northridge because that happened down here, but that was 6.7. You think about a 6.7, and then you jump to what happened in Turkey.
Yeah.
The difference is humongous. It's even hard to... A 7.8 is so much greater than a 6.7, because some people mistakenly think, oh, yeah, it's just 1 point higher.
A 6 and a 7, no. I forgot what the ratio is.
Yeah, there's a ratio,
but it's many times higher.
Right.
You go from a 6 to a 7.
And not to mention all the people that will die of heart attacks during an earthquake of that magnitude in L.A. I would probably be one of them.
Oh, you're going to have an overload.
Oh, 100%. I wouldn't survive. I wouldn't be here to talk about it. I'd be flipping out.
Any minute it could happen.
I know.
And like I said many times, if it's going to happen, I hope it happens while we're on the air so we can hear this.
You won't even hear anything. I'd die.
You're going to bolt? I don't know where you would bolt to. I
would go underneath this table here.
No.
Oh, yeah, that table's going to stop.
Well, what else am I going to do? I'm going to run out?
If this building goes down, the table's going down with it.
Probably.
Yeah.
What I heard people say, too, about the Turkey quake is that it went on for like 5 to 10 minutes. Could you imagine that?
Oh.
We just have these little shocks that go through here, but imagine going through... For 5 minutes of that shaking, that really violent shaking?
Well, here's the math on it. A magnitude 7 earthquake, like 7.0, produces 32 times more energy, 32 times stronger than a magnitude 6. Now, a magnitude 8 is 1,000 times stronger than a magnitude 6.
Oh.
So there's a whole multiplication that goes on.
Right.
Deborah.
Yeah, I know. I wish there was some way that we could prevent earthquakes. I mean, I know that's wishful thinking. Yeah. I know. But I just wish my life would be so much happier if I knew that there were no earthquakes.
You'd have to go to a different planet.
I know.
This is how the planet's constructed.
I tell you, I spend way too much time worrying about this.
The other thing that amazed me this morning, sometimes I think the world is upside down. I have a brother that lives in Buffalo. They got an earthquake. They got a 3.3 this morning at 6:15. 3.8 this morning at 6:15 a.m.
Is that related to the Turkish earthquake?
Well, it's funny that you said that.
Are all the faults connected underneath?
Yahoo just put up a story. Is the Turkey earthquake related to the one in Buffalo and Ontario? The timing isn't right, says a seismologist. So, I don't know.
The Turkey earthquake was felt in Greenland, which I didn't think was possible.
Well... If it's the other side of the earth, could that happen?
I don't know.
You know, when you're a kid, that joke where you can dig through and find your way to China?
Oh, yeah, I believed that as a kid.
If you dug through Buffalo, would you find your way in Turkey? Would you pop up?
And could you tell the difference?
So the earth sucked. Oh, yeah, my brother sent me a video from Twitter, and it was some guy who must have had a camera set up, and you just felt the noise. It was a real, we're very familiar with it here, but it was a real shocking, and a lot of people there were really not. They were totally confused. What was that? They were asking. The dog started barking in the video. I was like, what the heck was that?
You're also living in a part of the world where, you know, there are a lot of bad countries nearby. So the idea that you're getting bombed is possible, too.
Apparently there are faults.
That's not a great neighborhood.
There are faults all over the country. It's just that the California faults, or Alaska actually is the state with the most earthquakes, but they're the more active ones. But there are faults all over the country.
Yeah.
So. And this just one happened to pop this morning. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
Just one more earthquake note. The largest earthquake that could hit Southern California on the San Andreas Fault, they estimate 8.2. that would be 178 times stronger than the Northridge quake. So okay. take that Northridge quake and multiply that by 178.
She'll be up all night.
You know, I'm exhausted. I was looking forward to sleeping tonight. There's no way.
Could happen any minute.
You know, they come in threes or something like that, right?
Yeah. So tick, big tick, ones. Tick. Every minute,
hey, you
we're
guys
a minute
are not
going
to enjoy that either if there's an 8-point whatever. I mean, seriously, it's not just going to be me.
I don't think John's bunker is going to help a lot.
I was going to say, should we, can we, well, but yeah.
You'd be surprised what I enjoy.
He does, yeah, you know. Sometimes you just ride with it.
Who would enjoy an earthquake of that magnitude?
I don't know. Aren't you a little curious, though, what that would feel like?
No.
No?
And the aftermath. I mean, we've talked about no power for probably months. Mm. If we survive, and
it means my phone won't ring.
No, I already have like motion sickness. I wouldn't want that.
Oh,
no.
God.
Coming up after 3 o'clock, as Todd Spitzer put it, the Orange County DA, an innocent man is dead because he took a bike ride to enjoy a beautiful California day along the beach. He was hit with a car and stabbed to death by someone he apparently never met. The murder of a complete stranger in broad daylight for what appears to be absolutely no reason is the stuff of nightmares. Our guest next hour is a man who wants to remain, I think it's a man, am I right? Who wants to remain anonymous. But he did witness the entire incident, so he says. They have arrested Van Roy Evan Smith of Long Beach for the murder of Dr. Michael John Mamone. This happened last Wednesday in Dana Point. So we'll get to our guest and talk about what he saw and heard. The herd part could be important because there are some things being thrown out there about exactly what the man behind the wheel of the car may have said after he got out and stabbed the bicyclist to death. Last Friday, we threw a hack in the dumpster, didn't we?
Hugo.
What do you know? He's in the news already.
Hugo Soto Martinez, who's this new socialist councilman. Here in Los Angeles.
Replaced Mitchell Farrell. And we talked about Echo Park Lake, and he says we're taking the fence down at Echo Park Lake.
He wants to bring
the homeless back.
He wants to bring the homeless back and take them back to their rightful home, Echo Park Lake.
Now, not surprisingly, he's part of the Democrat Socialists of America, and he does not believe in policing. In fact, this story calls him one of the most prominent police abolitionists.
Right. So we're
like abolishing slavery.
We're beyond defunding. This whack job wants to eliminate the police. He thinks Los Angeles will be a better place if there are no police. Actually got elected. That's just fat. What the hell is going on in that district? A guy runs on abolishing the police department. Wow.
So apparently recently a police officer of the LAPD actually took a screenshot of his computer where a radio call popped up, and apparently somebody was asking for an extra patrol throughout the night to protect a white Lexus that was parked at the office of Hugo Soto Martinez. So you can imagine the officers and the union's response to this. Oh, all right. So they want protection now from the police that they want to abolish. But to get the story straight, it was not Soto Martinez's Lexus.
It's one of
that would have been the big get if it was his car.
One of his staffers, though.
One of his staffers.
One of his true believers. We don't have a name for the staffer, do we? Oh, yes, we do.
David, we do have a name.
David May, M-A-I. He's the owner of the Lexus. He works for Hugo Soto Martinez. And he actually wanted a patrol car to drive by periodically through the night because his Lexus was broken down. And he didn't want anything bad to happen to it. So Mr. Abolish the Police has a staffer who's calling the police for private security. Police don't do that. My car's broken down in front of my office. Would you go check on it every hour or so?
So Nick Barnes Batista, communications deputy for Soto Martinez, issued a statement. It's come to our attention that a deputy staffer had some contact with the LAPD regarding his personal vehicle. We're investigating this matter internally. We'll be taking appropriate action. Council member Soto Martinez is very upset. This does not reflect the values of transparency, responsible governance, and being accountable to the community that elected him.
Oh, is that the violation? Violates the transparency value?
I don't even know what that means.
How about the big stinking hypocrite value? You guys are fakes and phonies. This crowd, they're such phonies, because what we always said is, if they're the victim of a crime or they fear they're going to be the victim of a crime, the first thing they'll do is call 911 and ask for the police. Of course they do. How many times have we heard about legislators around the country who've been yelping about defund the police, and then when there's some trouble, turns out they want the police to provide private security? That story was around numerous times in the past 3 years, ever since this stupid defund the police insanity started, which, by the way, vast majorities of whites, blacks, and everybody else reject. God.
LAPD Sergeant Jaretta Sandaz refers to Soto Martinez as Mr. Defund the Police. He says, you also don't do that. We don't send units to protect somebody's car from possible theft.
Yeah, why don't you try that?
Third request, too. This must be a very young person that just, this David May.
I don't know. I think I knew when I was a little kid that the police aren't going to come around and give you private protection 24 hours a day. It's not his youth. He's a stupid hypocrite is what he is, this David May.
And he's not even looking for protection for himself. He's looking for his car to be watched over because he couldn't move it.
I have this really cool white Lexus, and it's broken down now. And I'm afraid bad guys might damage it or they might steal it. Do you think you guys could come and just, could one of you maybe just live in it for the night and protect it?
Do you think David May is looking for another job today, or is it too embarrassing to keep him around?
Well, I suppose.
You called the police to what? Protect your car?
Except, you know
what? Do you know what we're about here?
If Hugo Soto Martinez was threatened in some way, he would too. I don't know if he's got a family or a wife or whatever, but if any of them felt in danger, he would call the police. These guys are phony. They have a shtick that they sell to the stupid out there. Yeah. Anybody with more than a 50 IQ knows you need a police department.
You're right. The survival instinct would kick in and you would ask for help, right?
What are you going to do? Call a social worker? I don't understand this. This is like saying you want to abolish oxygen. No more water. It's just absurd. And Hugo Soto Martinez is like the boob of the year. Inside 1 week, he wants to bring hundreds of homeless back to Echo Park Lake. And he also, or is it Echo Lake Park? I always get him confused.
It's Echo Park Lake.
He wants to bring hundreds of homeless back, vagrants, bums, riffraff, to the lake. And at the same time, his stupid staffer is calling for daddy to come help because his car broke down.
The easy way to remember is there is a neighborhood in Los Angeles called Echo Park.
Right.
And then there's a lake, so it's Echo Park Lake.
So it's the lake in Echo Park.
Exactly.
I can't get that straight, and I don't know why.
No, I remember last year you were saying the same thing, Echo Lake Park. No. The lake isn't called Echo Lake, but it's called Echo Park Lake.
Well, you could have a park around a lake.
Yeah, you can. But it starts with the neighborhood name, and then...
It's not Echo Park Lake Park, is it?
Well, that's a good one. It could be.
Yeah. Almost scrambled up.
All right, stay with us for our guest after 3 o'clock, who said they witnessed this horrible crash between a car and a bicycle in Orange County, and then the car driver gets out and stabs the bicyclist to death, who turns out to be an ER doctor. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. All right, we're now on from 1 to 4, so pick up the show if you can't listen live at the podcast, KFIAM640.com, or, of course, the iHeartRadio app. You have another shot at money, too. Another keyword is coming your way in about 30 minutes. On the John and Ken Show. And our guest next hour, kicking right off the hour, is Sam. We're going to call him. And he was there at the scene in Dana Point where the bicyclist was hit by the car. And then the car driver got out. And this is really hard to believe, stabbed the bicyclist to death. Turns out he is an ER doctor and sorely missed by many people. Horrifying story. We'll talk to our guest, Sam, right after the news, 3 o'clock. Well, you knew this story was going to surface. We haven't talked about the Idaho college student murderer in a while, Brian Koberger. He won't be having a preliminary hearing until June. He's the one that decided to put it off. But you knew women were going to surface that, they're infatuated. And apparently we have a Kentucky woman who has announced on Facebook that she is obsessed with Brian Koberger. Her name is Brittany Hislop. She's begun posting. Some people may not understand that with Brian being my love interest that I'm fixated on, I don't think of being with others in the ways that I think of being with him. And thoughts of being with him also give me sensations that I wouldn't get when thinking of someone else. because I have deep feelings for Brian. I'm fixated on him, although I don't know how he feels about me. And if there's someone else he wants instead, even though that wouldn't be ideal for my divine masculine counterpart to be that way. Although when I have thoughts of being with him in certain ways, it gives me bodily sensations that are real.
Mm. Oh, no, no, no.
You may not understand what I'm meaning, but I also feel a love for him that isn't just sexual in nature. As you know, there's a mugshot of him I took, and I added hearts and a pair of lip stickers to it.
A pair of lip stickers?
Some lip stickers, yes.
I'm not sure what lip stickers are. Can you?
You know what stickers are? You had kids that played with stickers,
they're stickers,
right?
Of lips.
Correct.
I see.
And you put them on there to make it look like you're kissing the person.
I thought
it
was like pot stickers. I didn't.
Lip stickers.
Now she's got a 16-year-old son, and how do you think he feels this morning? Mom went public with her crush on
Brian
Koberger, on a mass killer.
Killed four college students.
Yeah, you think he's going home?
No, I don't think so.
Boy, that was a bad day at school.
And 16 too is a tough age.
Oh yeah, right. To find out your mom announced to the world that she's in love with a mass killer.
Deborah, she says they're a good couple, a good match because of their astrological signs of both Scorpios.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Their birth chart.
That doesn't impress you?
Not at all.
Well, because you have a thing for prisoners.
No, I don't have a thing for prisoners. I said I used to have a thing for going to jails. It was just, it was kind of a jail
fetish. She wanted
to
be imprisoned.
No, I didn't want to be in prison.
Handcuffed? What was
no.
it? I was something.
It's just that I was just fascinated by the prison culture.
I see.
Not that I'm ever interested in being behind bars, nor would I ever fantasize about somebody who is behind bars.
You share that astrology thing with her, too, I saw.
No. I do check out my horoscope once in a while, but no, I don't sit there and say, oh, I'm a Sagittarius, and you're a Sagittarius, and therefore we should be together. No. Especially not a criminal.
Yeah, I didn't think it worked like that. I thought you weren't supposed to be with your same sign.
Oh, right?
Don't you have the opposite signs that you pair well with?
Probably.
All right, this is not her first prisoner.
No,
wife.
This is not her first crush of the killer, right?
She had a crush on Cody Hall, who fatally shot a 50-year-old man in Kentucky in 2017, and then attacked his sister and another woman with a machete. And this girl, Brittany, couldn't get enough of him.
She visited him, put money in his commissary account, wrote him letters, and I wanted to be in a loyal, committed relationship with him. This is back in 2018 she wrote this.
How badly was
he wound up blocking her from visiting him in jail. The murderer rejected her.
Wow. That would be so embarrassing. Can you imagine?
You're too crazy for me. How bad was the last relationship she had?
That resulted in the 16-year-old?
Yeah,
well, it's a picture of her. She's definitely had some face work, but she still looks kind of young and attractive. Do you see her pictures?
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, posing in the car there.
Wow.
Changing hair colors. Says here she also has sent letters to Koberger about her amorous intentions, along with pictures of herself all dressed up and looking sharp. With me being deprived of a love and sex life for so long.
Gee, why would that be?
And only wanting one with someone I truly wholeheartedly feel for.
What are those first dates like?
She's hoping for conjugal visits with this guy?
I don't think you get those here.
I was going to say.
I guess that would be the goal, right? Because
I don't think in this case that would happen.
Well, he's not convicted yet. Maybe he gets some sort of visits. I don't know how that
because
works.
Because she says she's already getting bodily sensations that are real.
I know.
Oh. Right. Well. The Latah County Sheriff's Office has declined to confirm whether Koberger got an email from this woman.
What is she talking about?
If she's for real. Oh, yeah, there's one where she's wearing a rather showy top there. I can't tell if it's a bra or just a bikini top.
The picture in her the car?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, she's selling herself.
I like this. Hislop did not respond to multiple requests for comment from the New York Post, and family members could not be reached for comment either. God,
can you imagine?
So somebody must have seen her Facebook post and brought this story to the Post, but they can't get her to speak on the record.
And your mom or your daughter.
I think you guys should try and get her on.
Well, there's always these women. Manson had his women that loved
sure.
him.
Sure. Remember
Menendez brothers.
Did Menendez end up marrying
yes.
Marrying,
right?
Yes.
One of them married a lover, the mm-hmm. woman that was infatuated.
I don't know.
Him, yes.
What goes haywire? Because you don't see guys falling in love with female prisoners.
I've not heard of that. I'll bet you it's happened, but it's very rare.
Yeah, but they don't usually go public with their
with their infatuation.
Right.
And there aren't a lot of female mass murderers either.
I was just going to say, so you really can't compare.
No. I mean, female prisoners are kind of rough looking.
All right, coming up next, our guest will talk about how he was on the scene in Dana Point. We'll learn the whole story. This is when Dr. Michael John Mamone, an ER doctor, was riding his bicycle at PCH and Crown Valley Parkway in Dana Point, and he was hit by a car driven by Van Roy Evan Smith of Long Beach. That isn't unusual. It's terrible, but not unusual. But Smith got out and then stabbed Mamone, and he died. Mamone died. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.